First of all, it is my great pleasure to be here and give a talk, a conference in honor of Peter Orlik. I met him first time when it was 2004 in Berkeley. But my first encounter with his name is goes back more 4 years. Maybe when I was just beginning of graduate study, I learned what is manifold, what is Durham cohomology group, what is Beck numbers, and I learned some geometry. So I had known that computing Beck number is very difficult, and describing cohomology ring structure seems impossible. But Orlik Solomon algebra achieved everything. So his work is very impressive, and the idea that relations among cohomology groups, so say the product of log linear forms, is generated by very similar relations, say Arnold relations, is very attractive idea for me. And the topic of my talk today is a kind of extension of this similar idea to another context of real numbers. So, and some organizers required me to give a talk as elementary as possible. So it is very good requirement, because it is better than the converse. So let me start with looking at some real numbers. Say, my talk is based on a story about the famous inclusion. So you know what is this inclusion. And recently, exactly, precisely, 2001, Koncevic and Dallier wrote a very nice exposition called Period. So, my topic is about this, a class of complex numbers between these two famous classes. So let us start with looking at some real numbers. So first section is period. Okay, I now write down three numbers. Pi, log 2, and another one is this is called Liouville number. Historically, it is, the third one is historically a significant number, because it is the first number proven to be transcendental. So, and these all three are transcendental numbers. And let's ask which are important than the other numbers in these three numbers. So, of course, this is nonsense. So, it depends on who consider and for what purpose. Of course, some majority people consider these three are equally important, but maybe another majority also consider there is a big gap here. So, the upper two numbers appear so frequently in mathematics, physics, economy, and so on. But the third one is, I only see this number in the context of transcendental number theory. So what distinguishes them? And Koncevic and Dallier in the exposition gave a very good observation that their Actually, the upper two numbers have some very elementary property, which conjecturally is not possessed by the third. So, what is it? It is, the upper two numbers have very special expression. Namely, integral expression of the number. And the third one is conjecturally no such formula. So maybe this kind of property, so having the integral expression can be a very good property for characterizing some important real numbers. So this is the period. So the precise definition is the following. So a complex number alpha is called a period if and only if the real part and imaginary part of this number have the following expression. So this type of expression. So some integral expression. Where delta is defined to be some polynomial inequalities in RL. And so the point is the polynomials appear in this formula. So this rational one and this domain defining polynomials are all in Z coefficient. So these two numbers are actually contained in this class. And they call let P denote the set of all periods. So this is our class of numbers. And so by definition and from these formulas, so this contains a lot of important numbers. Pi and log 2 are in P. And the other example is some zeta values of 1 over the integration over a simplex. It's also in P. So this P contains a lot of interesting numbers. And more systematically, we have some facts about the class of P. So the first one is P is a true algebra. So especially this form a ring. The second one is P is a countable set. So because the defining recall the definition of P. P is the number of this kind of number. So the period is defined by using rational form with some finite remaining rational polynomials. And the cardinality of this set and the finite tuple of this set forms countable sets. So P is only finite, countably many numbers. And actually, all algebraic numbers are contained in P, and it is a proper subset of C. So let me explain this briefly. For example, square root 2 has the following expression. 0, x square is less than 2. So this integration is expressed by only using integer polynomial and inequalities, but the value is exactly equal to square root 2. So this is contained in P. And similarly, all algebraic numbers are contained in P. And as I said, for example, some transcendental quantities are contained in P. So this is strictly larger than the algebraic numbers. And P has only countably many numbers. So this is strictly smaller than all complex numbers. So this may be an interesting class of numbers. And actually, there are some conjectural beautiful property of P. So next we consider relations among periods. And again, as elementary as possible, let us start with show the following equality. Log of 6 is equal to log 3 plus log 2. Maybe you all know the proof. If you can, you know log is the inverse function of exponential, then it is very, it is almost trivial from exponential law. But if we are allowed only using integral expression, then we can prove as follows. So log, the left hand side is equal to from 1 to 6. And what we first divide the interval into two pieces, plus 3 to 6. And then the first term is nothing but the definition of log 3. Then we can change the second part as x is equal to 3 times x prime. Then the integral interval of integration change from 1 to 2, dx prime over x prime. So we can complete the proof of statement. So, and Kontsevich and Zagier consider further, much more further. So, this proof, we all know this proof is very easy, but this proof is something strange, because the original problem is to compare two real numbers. So we have two numbers, log of 6 and log 3 plus log 2, and compare these two numbers. But we don't know calculate any real numbers here. For example, we don't know this real number is greater than or smaller than 1.8. Actually, it is close to 1.79. But what we have proved this equality, right? So we have proved at the level of integration. So we prove the above equality by using some rules of transformation rules of integration. The first one is linearity, bilinearity. So bilinearity means linearity about domains and linearity on functions, so forms. And the second one is we use also the chain rule. So we can compute the integration in another coordinate. The third one is not used in this case, but sometimes it should be used, but Stokes formula. So this reduces the integration into lower dimensional integration. And they conjecture that any relations among periods are generated by these three rules. So they conjecture any relation, so these three simple rules generate all relations among periods. So I think this is very beautiful property, but unfortunately I cannot say anything more about this conjecture. So the rest of my talk is about more simple question about periods. So namely the following type of question: which real number is in P or not in P? So this is also a difficult question. And that they also conjecture some famous quantities are not in P. For example, E 1 over pi, the Euler constant gamma, and the Liouville number I described are all not in P. It's conjectured, but we don't have any proof.
So P is not the P, if that conjecture is true.
Right. Not P.
Do you have any counter
example
to the assertion that P is the P?
No, no proof. So almost nothing is known. And our knowledge about P is much more primitive level. Actually, my motivation to this work is the following: exhibit a real number alpha which is not in P. So this is my motivation. And actually, they, so Concevich and Zagier pose this as one of the problems in the exposition. So this is still non-trivial fact. So it is not easy task. So what is the difficult point? So difficult point is we don't know any qualitative property of P which can distinguish non-periods from periods. So in other words, we need some qualitative property. It can distinguish non-periods from P. So, in this talk, I'm talking about let us looking at algorithmic complexity of periods. So the idea of looking at complexity is very simple. So let us first ask what exhibit a real number means. So, as you know, R is nothing but the completion of rational number field by some norm metric. So, exhibit a real number means, so for simplicity alpha, we suppose we assume alpha is positive, then alpha is always expressed as a limit of some Cauchy sequence, rational Cauchy sequence, where A and B are pair of functions of positive integers. So exhibit a real number alpha is nearly equal to choose a pair A and B of functions of positive integers. So the set of functions of positive integers have a long history, and so anyway, we are interested in the functions of positive integers, and this the set of all functions form a uncountable set. So this is the set of all functions of positive integers. And in 1936, Alan Turing defined a subclass of this set called computable functions. So I don't give any precise definition of this function, but a definition is the function defined by using Turing machine, or in the context of Gödel, it is equivalent to recursive function. Well, more intuitively, the class of computable function is nothing but the functions that the algorithm of computing this value is explicit. I mean, this is a function the function that we can tell the way of computing to anyone. This is the function we can tell to the computer how to compute this function. And there are many subclass of this computable function. For example, some polynomial time computable functions or some polynomial growth functions or something. But among others, we are today interested in elementary one. So I will give the precise definition later, what is elementary function. But the idea of exhibit a non-period is first consider this hierarchy and corresponding hierarchy on real numbers. And each real number have expression in this form, so as a limit of national Cauchy sequence. And if we restrict our functions allowed from some computable class or elementary class, then hopefully the computable real number, we have only some restricted real number. So this actually happens. So if we can use any functions, then we have, of course, have all real numbers. I'm now writing this hierarchy. And if we can use only computable functions, then only some, not many, some real numbers are expressible. So this is compute, all compute. And if we restrict our functions to elementary ones, then we also have subclass of R, so a class of elementary real numbers. And our main theorem is, so we compare this hierarchy, we compare this hierarchy to the periods, and we can prove periods are in this class. And we can also construct a real number which is not in elementary, not in computable real number. So our main theorem has two parts. P is in R, and we can construct computable real number which is not elementary one. And then obviously this answers the problem. I have a real number which cannot be a period. So this is rough idea of this talk. Okay, now we are going to explain what is elementary real numbers. First, let me explain some general notation. So if let E be a class of some class of functions. So this is a set of functions from n, positive integer to positive integer. Notation, in this section we denote n means non-negative integer. And for a given class of this function, we define alpha, a positive real number, is E computable. If the following holds. So, if there exist three functions from this prescribed class of functions C, such that alpha minus a n over b n, so this is a rational number, is very close. So say this is less than 1 over k. If n is enough big, so this is precisely, if n is greater than c of k, then this rational number is enough close to alpha. So if such three functions A, B, C exist, then we say alpha is an e-computable function, e-computable real number. So obviously, the notion of e-computable real number depends on which class of functions we consider. So before then, we denote R sub E is a class of all real numbers such that the absolute value of alpha is e-computable. So this is the class of all e-computable real numbers. And this subset of real number is depending on which class we choose. For example, if all functions of positive integers, then of course, obviously, RE is the whole real number, the set of all real numbers. And if we have only constant functions, positive integers, then we cannot describe so many real numbers. We can compute only rational numbers. We don't have any more than rational numbers. So this, the notion of computable real numbers depends on which class of functions we choose. And now we define what is elementary this class, what is elementary function. So elementary function is a function generated by some special functions called initial functions. By using some operations. So I now explain what the initial functions and operations. So initial functions are some very special functions of positive integer. So initial functions consist of some functions. So first, zero function. So for any input x, zero functions tells zero. And the next one is successor functions. So successor function tells x plus 1 for x. And the next one is projection. So this is a function of n variables and returning I elements. And other important two variable functions. So for given x and y, x plus y, returning x plus, so this is addition and multiplication. And one more a little bit strange function is modified subtraction. So this is dotted minus. So it is usual subtraction if x is not less than y. And if x is smaller than y, then this becomes negative. So in this case, returning zero. So our elementary functions contains at least these functions. And we have operations, so from these functions. The first one is composition. So this is nothing but some composition. The second one is bounded summation. So this is n variable functions of summing up x, So this means if we know f is a elementary function, then this summation defines another function of n variables. And elementary, the definition of elementary functions allows this function, summation is also a function, elementary function. And one more similar one is the bounded product. So these three are operations, our operations to define elementary functions. So that's all of the definition of elementary functions. And this class of functions contains many well-known functions of integers, positive integers. For example, this is a very basic function. If x is equal to 0, returning 0. And if x is positive, then returning 1. So this is called signature. And this is elementary. Actually, this following expression. So if x is equal to 0, then 1 minus 0 is 1, and 1 minus 1 becomes 0. And if x is positive, then this becomes, the right hand side becomes 1. So this shows this function is elementary. And using this function, we almost all known functions, for example, nth prime, or Fibonacci, and so on. So many known functions are elementary. And this, there is also non-elementary function. Okay. So this big power of x lower is known to be non-elementary function. Okay, so this class of elementary functions defines our elementary real numbers. So Rm is the set of all elementary real numbers. Okay, now, so almost finished. So in a couple of minutes, I explain this idea of the main theorem, period, elementary. So the main theorem is P is contained in Rm. So the idea is very easy. Riemann sum. So recall that period is consists of this is a class of real numbers generated by some volume of domain D defined by some positive some integer coefficient polynomials. Then we can divide this domain into some small cubes. And summing up cubes, we have rational sequence which converges to the volume D. And we analyze this procedure taking the Riemann sum, then every algorithm can be write down only using elementary functions. So this volume is always elementary real numbers. Then we can complete any periods that are elementary. So this is the rough idea of our main theorem. Okay, but unfortunately, these elementary functions are very rough. It is still a big class of real numbers. So, an interesting number like e, 1 over pi, etc., are unfortunately elementary real numbers. So we can't say anything about these non-periods. But we can construct a computable real number which is not in our elementary. So we at least have one non-period. I don't explain this detail. And if you want to contain this kind of e or 1 over pi and so on, then we have another class of real number called classical numbers defined by Unimura. So this class is also interesting to study. Okay, I finish here. Thank you. it is very difficult to explain in a few minutes. So we can describe the algorithm generating Cauchy sequence, but and we can prove this is not elementary, but the algorithm is very complicated to explain.
Not elementary.
Not elementary. At least if you are interested in, please look in my preprint.
When you first were discussing how you go from a subplot of functions to subplot of numbers, you just said that A and D have to be in a subplot of functions.
Yes, it is important. Actually, this C works play role. It's important. If C is missing, then classes sometimes collapse. For example, elementary and computable coincide.
Any more questions?
Do you think that C could be a C? That's the
definition of
the
depends
on the axioms of set theory.
I'm not sure about foundation of I'm not sure about this question, but I doubt the concept and the ideas conjecture maybe might be unprovable. Anyway, this class, the definition of this class is very, it reaches a very deep point of definition of real numbers. So I can't understand here.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you. I actually want to put up some names before I leave.